Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, yes or no questions, Yonkers. The questions this cast answers are, how do I answer yes or no questions? Is it okay to say I don't know to a yes or no question? And can I avoid answering a question directly? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. To all of our European clients, we will be in theater the week of February 19th in Frankfurt with our public conference. And this is the opportune time to coordinate your client organizational training needs since most of the travel costs will get absorbed by the public conference. In other words, you'll save a bunch of money. So contact Maggie. Her email address is maggie@manager-tools.com to discuss how we can come on site and deliver the effective manager, effective communicator, or effective hiring manager to your team. We could take up to 30 people at a time, and it's far more cost-effective for us to come directly to you. So send us an email, and we'll come visit you while we're in Europe. Today, we're here to chat because I think that this situation may have happened to individuals who are listening. It may have happened when you were an individual contributor, if you worked for a smart boss. Maybe it didn't happen to you because your boss didn't know how to drill down to get into specifics of issues and problems. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, then it will definitely happen to you as a manager. Maybe it won't be your boss. Maybe another executive, maybe an executive who's famous for the technique. Either way, you need to know how to handle this situation. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Answering yes or no questions.
I really think as a professional, you're going to get asked.
Oh, you're going to get asked.
As your tenure in professional life increases, it's going to happen more. More yes or no questions are going to happen as you move forward, I think.
Yeah. And at least at the beginning, anyway. At the beginning, you're going to be desirous not to answer with a yes or a no. This is very, very true. All these things are true, which sounds silly. It'll make more sense when we get to it, but it's true. It's totally true. You're going to be asked a yes or no question. You're going to want to add way more words.
Yeah. And in order to help with that, we've got three things here. We've got the use of yes or no questions, which we're calling yonkers for fun.
Yonkers.
We've got that there are only three acceptable answers and that avoiding the third answer is the worst choice.
Yeah.
So we're here to save you. We're here to help.
Hopefully in advance.
Yeah, hopefully in advance. Because if it hasn't happened already to you in your career, as you move up the ranks, it will happen. You're going to start being questioned by people who are good at questioning people.
Uh-huh.
We get good at asking questions. Questioning directs who are managers, questioning managers they don't know who are briefing them, more senior managers and executives spend a great deal of time looking and listening for weaknesses, errors, omissions, teasing out information that is hidden or essentially a risk. Because there's without a certain amount of information being revealed, there's the sense of risk that there's something we don't know that could cause us to decide differently. And there's a lot of different reasons for it. Sometimes it's because the questioner is a jerk and they just everybody else to look bad. And
sometimes,
because in many cases, truly it's their job.
Yeah, don't assume they're being a jerk. They're probably actually not.
Yeah, they get less information at the granular level at their position, at their, you know, height in the organization. And so because it is their job to get to the bottom of anything that might be awry with projects, plans, deliverables, yes or no questions can be an effective tool for unearthing, again, just bits of information that could cause someone either to misstep because they don't have it or decide differently about how to proceed. So you get very pointed, you get very specific on purpose to solve that problem.
It's all through experience. I mean, executives and more senior managers will have learned that a poorly framed question or poorly worded question allows the respondent to dodge accountability for whatever the issue is that's at the root of their question. And executives spend a lot of time asking questions, and they learn to get really, really good at getting answers. And a tool that a good questioner often uses is asking very specific, pointed questions to achieve the answers they truly need the answers to.
Right. It's, and we can illustrate it for you. Think about these two questions, the difference. The first question being, how is our vendor doing with delivery? And the second question being, is vendor Y meeting their on-time delivery standard for widget X? Vastly different questions.
Vastly different. The first question you could probably answer with, fine, as long as you don't think vendor delivery effectiveness is a big issue for the production team. And your questioner may not care any more than that. And that answer will satisfy them. Like, okay, cool, fine, that works, legit. But if the questioner thinks there's a problem with deliveries or with this vendor for whatever reason, they'll quickly realize, if they've asked this initial question, that the question they asked was a poor one. And
right.
They'll go back.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad.
It doesn't get to the bottom of it.
No.
It lacks the specificity to give you the answer to the question you may really be asking, which is, has it picked up or whatever
it is.
Yeah,
what is the delivery standard? Or are they meeting it? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny, people who are not very experienced or amateurs usually won't really follow up with more specific questions or even one more specific question, because then it would just prove that the first question was weak to do so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, then you get this question and then there's vagaries and people aren't sure what the answer is. And the first question also, I think, could be distilled into four or five other questions. And then everybody's taken that answer to mean the answer to their question. Asking the right question makes a world of difference. It really does, right?
Exactly.
What about the second question is much better.
Yeah. So suppose you were asked, is vendor Y meeting their on-time delivery standard for widget X? The question poses a lot more jeopardy than if you're asked if everything's fine, right?
Yeah.
This one gets to the actual heart of the matter. Whereas the first one, it just sort of looks in that direction. It's kind of, think compass versus map, basically, is the analogy I'm going to go with. Like, basically. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Questions like that beg for proactive reporting of all the metrics of projects. It's a specific metric-based question. And my experience is asking it a few times in the same meeting will cause people to bring to you in that meeting next time that number. The question is specific enough to create proactive behaviors.
Yeah, to train in reporting or to train in better reporting, almost.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And of course, the dangers here are not just that you would have to say no or say, oh, I don't know, which of course leads to more questioning. Because, right, is the vendor meeting their on-time delivery standard? It's not just, oh gosh, I have to say no. Okay, now we know we have a problem. It's also possible that you aren't measuring on-time delivery of widget X, or even that you are measuring it and you don't know the measurement.
The measurement, exactly.
You don't know what that measure is currently sitting at. And by the way, there is a rule that if you know something, you should report it. What it means to a lot of managers is that if you're not reporting something, you don't know its status or you don't want to talk about it. And that might be the case. It might not be.
Right.
The issue is, this is where the real questioning starts. Because when you're asked this specific question and the answer is, I don't know, then we get into, okay, well, are we measuring it? Did you just not bring it here? There's a series of subsequent tacked on implications, because that answer is important. Ostensibly, or it wouldn't have been asked.
Or it wouldn't have been asked. Now, I will say, in rare cases, people are asking the question just because they don't like you or they're trying to point out a flaw in what you're doing. But again, less common than people just trying to get to the root of a potential issue or something that they see as possibly being a potential issue. Okay, so yes, good yes or no questions get to the heart of the matter. Execs use them all the time to reassure themselves that when you say your production schedule is fine, they can trust that the production schedule is indeed fine in their opinion as well. Now, there's a caveat worth mentioning here. Some people like to preface their yes or no questions with, yes or no, this. And that's generally considered to be a little too aggressive, even though it's just stating the obvious and it's maybe even helpful to the respondent because you're giving them a clue on how you want, it's bluff, right? You're giving them a clue on how you want them to listen to the question, or with an intent to give me a yes or no answer. But in terms of, again, it's a little aggressive. And related to this phrase, do you or do you not, as opposed to just did you, is again, it's a little pointed and it helps with direction, but it can be seen as a little sharp, a little aggressive, something to be aware of.
I've done this in the past, full disclosure. I realize that this story does not paint me in a positive light. I want to be clear. I'm aware of what this makes me sound like. I have in the past been frustrated by asking questions that have a very clear yes or no response.
Yeah. You've asked the question.
Right. And I've done it a few times where I asked the same question a couple weeks in a row about the same thing. And full disclosure, I asked once, do you have a meeting today at 2:00? And the answer I got included multiple mentions of cookies.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Like what snacks were coming to the meeting? And in none of the conversations where there were cookies, was there a yes or a no? And so I was able to determine that the meeting would probably have cookies and not able to tell if it was actually going to happen. So I then adapted, you know, my heart's in the right place. My assumption is that I am the person doing it wrong. If I need to change, that was my base assumption. So unfortunately, my tactic of choice to do better was to preface my question with a yes or a no. And I'm going to go out there and say it. You don't have to engage in my mistake in order to learn from it. Prefacing your yes or no question with yes or no isn't seen as helpful. It's reminiscent of lawyers in movies and TV courtroom dramas. It comes across as not only, I think, aggressive. It also, I think, comes across as kind of as dramatic.
And
it's in these instances where we see it the most in pop culture, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's in situations where like someone's being hostile.
Yeah.
So then it's like this kind of hostile, dramatic example. So we don't recommend.
Right. Yeah, we don't recommend you use
start
that.
With yes or no, with one small exception.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If you're someone's direct boss. And you've asked a yonker once or twice and have not gotten a straight answer, and you can add the preface without a perception of malicious intent or threat, then you can try it. Like the example that Kate used, right? She asked the question a couple of times, benefit of the doubt, tried to adjust her language, and don't think this is going to come across as a perceived threat. Okay, yes or no this. If you think that all those things are in place, you can try it. And that's also, managers, a case of educating one of your directs.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to bet you that what comes out of this podcast, when we're done, what we hear is that people are not prefacing their questions with yes or no. They're prefacing their questions with yonker.
Yeah, I like him. I mean, if we all know what it is, why not?
We like it. We think it'd be fun.
Right. Use the abbreviation.
Okay, so related to this idea, some corollaries. First, you yourself can start asking yes or no questions. This requires you to think about the actual verbiage of the question you were going to ask, then also to ask yourself what you really want to know, and then work on framing it as a yes or no question, as a yonker.
Exactly. And don't go into any of your own presentations without preparing for yes or no questions. Don't just predict any old type of question, the ones that are easy to deflect. Turn the questions that you could potentially be asked into yonkers during your preparation time. It'll point out the places where your thinking or your planning or your data or your knowledge, whatever it is, are weak. Maybe where there are gaps, and it'll help you identify answers to or where you may need answers to questions that may be asked of you during the presentation. So that when you're asked, you answer yes or no. One of the reasons I think a lot of people don't just answer yes or no is because there's this hesitation. There's this second guessing. You're so much further ahead if you interpret it or you thought you might get it. And you can say unequivocally, yes. Because everyone's mind's eased now. It's much different than like, oh, well, it depends on multiple factors. That doesn't exude confidence the same way.
There's a strength of answer in the one word. It's very, there's a very strong perception of a one-word answer. It does, though, require that questions are appropriately phrased because manager tools, and so many of us are so direct. I sometimes feel I've inflicted this on myself personally, but I feel the pressure of providing a one word yes or no answer, and knowing that the question wasn't specific enough is sometimes it's like very stressful to feel, okay, I should really try to make this yes or no. And I really, that question has yes and.
Yeah, exactly.
We do want to encourage you to think about your questions if you're the person asking the question. And if you think other people are going to ask questions, consider what those questions are going to be so that you can be prepared with the right data. Always to remember, I think that if you're preparing the presentation, you suffer from academic creep. You already have asked yourself the first 10 questions that they're going to ask. And so what's good to think about is, as you're asking yourself those questions, as you build upon what you're going to say, remind yourself you asked yourself those questions as well and think about how you might then present it. Austin, for all you Texas people or anyone who wants to come to town, we're hosting a 3-day EHM, EMC, and ECC, Effective Hiring, Management, and Communication event, January 30th, 31st, and February 1st. There are a lot of reasons to attend this event. First, we only host a few in-person hiring events a year, and this is one of them. Second, downtown Austin is just as great as they say it is. Come for manager tools and stay for barbecue. Austin, January 30th through February 1st, hiring, management, and communication. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training. Hopefully, you're aware now that you're going to have more yes or no questions in your life, and now you need to be aware of the fact that there are only 3 acceptable answers.
Yeah, exactly. There are only 3 acceptable answers to that question. Yes, no, and I don't know. It is literally that simple. Any other answer, no matter how complete or accurate or better than those 3, because the question wasn't really logical or valid or whatever it may be, is wrong. Any other answer is wrong. It just is. Period. Yeah. It doesn't matter if your answer is better, technically. It really doesn't matter. Yes, no, I don't know. Those are the only answers that are acceptable to a yes or no question.
For clarity, what we're really saying is the first words out of your mouth to a yonker must either be yes, no, or I don't know. You can't say, well, it's more complicated than that, and then try to explain what you mean. When you do that, everyone will assume that you are not answering the question, even if they may also know that the question wasn't legitimate.
Yeah.
Their assessment of your response, regardless of their assessment of the question, stands as you're not answering the question. You have lowered yourself to the level of your opponent, questioner, essentially.
Yeah.
Don't try to get cute.
Don't.
Don't try to expose the question as falsely premised. Don't sigh, as tempting as it may be.
It might really be sigh worthy. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, don't do it.
I said to somebody the other day, I said, don't lower yourself to that standard. And their response, so good, was, I would need a backhoe to get to that level. Okay, so don't use your backhoe. Don't attack the questioner. Don't say, that's not a fair question. Just immediately answer the question with yes, no, or I don't know.
Yes, exactly. Those are the rules for how the game is played. You're going to be rewarded for following the rules, even if you don't know. It's a better answer than giving them a sentence. It just is. Even if you don't know and you should dang well know, doesn't matter. Even if your answer was better than I don't know, it will be seen as lesser than I don't know. It will be, by definition. And yes, It's possible the question is framed to intentionally embarrass you, let's say. That's fine.
Okay.
Don't attack the question first. Answer the question first. That's what you want to do. And then attack its premise or debate the ethical or unethicalness of the question itself, whether or not it was logical or illogical. Worry about that after you've answered the question.
Right. Imagine you're presenting a status briefing to your boss and her peers on production improvement projects. You're showing a deliverable that was due yesterday to install a power coupling, and it's red, meaning it wasn't done by its deadline, or even now, a day later during the briefing, it's still not done. Now, the reason for that is while the work is done, the coupling is where it's supposed to be, all hooked up, the coupling is not considered installed until it's been inspected and marked safe and ready. So you're waiting for the safety inspector to approve it, and he doesn't report to you. He reports to the executive asking you about the power coupling install. Oh dear. The question comes, will you have the power coupling installed in time for the run-up test next Thursday? Okay, what must your answer be? You can't say yes because the inspector doesn't work for you. He should have been there already. You've asked repeatedly. You've told them you're going to go red as of this briefing if the inspector doesn't come over and check the install. You even thought about escalating to the inspector's boss's boss, but you haven't. And since you can't control this asset, the inspector, you cannot guarantee that he will meet the deadline for the run-up test. You can only say yes if you can guarantee the yes. So yes is out. You can't say no, because that would mean that you will not make the deadline.
And yeah.
You have time to get the inspection completed. If the inspector comes by tomorrow and blesses you with his presence, you will make the deadline. So no is not out of the question. So the logic is simple. You have to choose one of the three answers. Yes and no cannot be chosen. So you must say, I don't know.
Yeah.
And okay, maybe you put yourself in this position. It would have been better to have created two deliverables with two different due dates, one for the installation and another for the inspection. That would have protected you and made it more obvious that you did your work, and
yep.
Some external force, the jerk asking the question, makes you look bad, even though he's the reason you're here and yep. He's responsible. Okay, you're still responsible. We're totally kidding. You're responsible for this. But hey, you're stuck with
yep.
The task you created that has an and in it, and you're stuck with a yes or no question. And you're stuck on the hot seat, and there's only one possible answer. So your response is, I don't know.
I don't know. And that's the answer. That is the first thing to fall out of your mouth.
Sentence.
And then, only then, can you elaborate. This is the part of Yonkers that everyone forgets. After you answer a Yonker, even though that answer may have sounded bad, and you've answered it, it's now time for your agenda. It's completely okay to answer a Yonker directly. However your answer sounds or looks, and then follow up with your opening or follow up with your refutation of the premise of the question, or an elaboration that shows how the question was misguided or misleading or perhaps intentionally so, you can absolutely elaborate. Yes, no, or I don't know have to be the first thing out of your mouth, but they don't have to be the last thing out of your mouth. You can then continue to elaborate and explain the situation, what's gotten you here, or whatever it may be. Okay, so in this case, the case that Kate just played out for us, you might say, I don't know. The holdup is the inspector, who hasn't checked out the work yet, and since they work for you, Sanjay, I'd love some help getting him to inspect the coupling I've been asking every day for the past 9 days, and I've been copying you on my written asks in emails and Slacks.
Oof. Okay, that might be a little too direct.
That was pretty direct. I'm a D, so you don't have to do it that way exactly, but yeah.
And you can say the same thing with gentler words.
Yeah,
You don't have to be that direct. Say it a little bit differently. Maybe then your questioner will exhibit reasonable embarrassment
yeah.
and promise to get the inspector there today. It's likely, honestly, that everyone in the room knows that your questioner is the one who owes
yeah.
the inspector
oh, yeah.
the
resource. It's probably not a mystery.
Yes. And some of the people in the meeting will see your questioner as behaving in a self-protecting way by not having acknowledged the inspector works for them, because asking a question with this premise without saying, hey, I know the inspector hasn't been there and that's why that's red, which would be a more respectful, collaborative approach. Okay. And sure, sometimes you'll want everyone to think that. Sometimes you'll want to make sure everyone knows it, which is what Sarah verbalized. That would make sure everybody knows it. What Sarah said is my favorite probably line of this, so this podcast so far, which is the first words out of your mouth have to be yes, no, or I don't know. They don't have to be the last words.
Yeah.
Answer the question with one of the three choices and then elaborate in that order.
Exactly.
And don't avoid it.
Yeah, and don't avoid it. Oh, don't avoid it. Avoiding the answer is the worst choice, to be clear.
Yeah, avoiding the third answer is the worst.
Is the worst, exactly. The worst answer that you can give a yonker is to not answer with one of the three questions. And among the many versions of that choice, the worst of the worst is to know you don't know the answer and not to say you don't know the answer.
Yeah.
If you don't know the answer, say you don't know the answer.
Right.
Being evasive will not win you friends.
If you are in a situation where evasiveness is the instinct that comes to you, simply say, I don't know.
Say, I don't know. Just say, I don't know. It's better.
Say, I don't know.
Yeah. Immediately.
And even say, and I would be happy to find out within 48 hours, something like
that.
Yeah,
exactly. Whatever it is. Yeah.
Yes or no answers are conceptually easy. You have to decide whether the truthful answer is a yes or a no.
Yeah.
And yes or no, either one, is a clear, unequivocal thing, implying that your choice is either or is both, I guess, clear and unequivocal. It could be one or the other, clear or. This scares most people, honestly. Yeah. It's frightening for people. But the logic gives us this huge, beautiful out to the question. If you cannot say yes or no with pure certainty, then by definition, the answer is, I don't know.
It's pretty easy, actually. It's kind of nice. And of course, we're all afraid of being seen or of thought to be seen as not knowing something material to our work. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, most of us aren't actually afraid of not knowing. We're just afraid of other people seeing us as not knowing. And there's all kinds of stuff we don't know at various times. And guess what? We live with it all the time. There are so many things in the world that I don't know anything about. And I know I don't know.
Just don't want to get found out.
I just don't want other people to know that I don't know. So I don't want to say I don't know.
Your secret's out, y'all. We know you don't know. We wouldn't be in business if you didn't know.
Exactly.
It's a problem with wanting to be perceived as knowing.
Yeah.
That causes us to avoid the truthful answer of, I do not know. And this is a problem we create for ourselves with fear in our own hearts, which is, to some extent, right, we're using energy to avoid something that is the truth. We're using energy to avoid the situation we're already in. The problem we create for ourselves with that fear of being found out is that we dodge saying, I don't know. But it's obvious to everyone by the dodge that we don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not hiding what you're afraid of keeping secret by dodging. In fact, you're just making it more obvious that both you don't know and you are afraid. So let's not do that. By not answering a yonker with, I don't know, when that's the true answer, will be perceived that we don't know anyways.
Exactly.
And show our insecurity of being perceived as not knowing.
Exactly. People will know you don't know. It's actually worse.
Right. It shows that you don't know and you're scared.
And you're scared of the fact that you don't know. Just say, I don't know. It's so much better. It's so much easier. It lets everybody feel better about the fact that you don't know, because now you're actually admitting it. It's great. It's so great. So don't give your yonker questioner the satisfaction of showing your insecurity. Just say that you don't know, because that shows your self-confidence and that not knowing is not the worst outcome.
And you can't know all the things.
You can't know all the things. There are plenty of things you don't know, and let's admit anyway. As we said earlier, there's lots of stuff you don't know. So, you can't know everything. You don't know everything off the top of your head 100% of the time. You just don't, and admit it. They know you don't know. They just want to see whether or not you're willing to admit you don't know.
Or they just want to, they want to know. Guess what? The thing is, they don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know. You don't know. We can go find out.
We can go find out.
There yes are or no answers. Question. There are. They're out there. We can go. Yes or no questions, Yonkers, are a tool for managers and executives to ask precise questions. Sometimes they're misused or used with malice. Uh-huh. Mostly they're not. You need to be prepared to answer them when you present or report to anyone, even in writing. And there are only three answers. Yeah. Yes, no, and I don't know. Always start with one of those things. And then everyone understands that after the royal three, you can add more context, challenge the legitimacy of the question if you must. And when it's your turn, use yes or no questions when the time comes.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you, Kate.
Thanks, Sarah. Have a good day, y'all.
That's all for this week, folks. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week with a new topic.